So what did we discuss last time?
Yeah. Give up all your material desires, all anattas. Admit it, family, relations, properties, all your money, assets, and concentrate in. That's what Karan was saying, please.
How are you doing with all of that?
Trying to. Trying my best.
Anything else?
In this past time, Karan Maharaj is instructing his classmates. And the classmates are usually how Karan Maharaj got this knowledge from. And Karan Maharaj is explaining the importance of having the spiritual master. Narasimha is explaining how this past time.
So these are the instructions that Prahlad received when he was in the womb of his mother. And having received these instructions within the womb of his mother, now he's given them to his classmates, the young Asuras. So two things he's especially emphasizing. One is the temporary nature of the material world. The other he is emphasizing is that if one wants to get out of the material world, once and for all, one has to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. So tonight we'll continue, we'll finish the chapter. We'll go from verses 40 to 55. And Prahlad Maharaj will continue to instruct us in about the temporary nature of this material world. These are very powerful instructions by Prahlad Maharaj.
Actually, Sri Prabhupada said that it's easier to go to
Help.
No. You have to make endeavor to go to hell. But you can easily go to Krishna.
It's such a lot.
Do you boys want chairs or? Yeah. You sure? They're free.
That's it.
Text 40. It is learned from Vedic literature that by performing great sacrifices, one may elevate himself to the heavenly planets. However, although life on the heavenly planets is hundreds and thousands of times more comfortable than life on earth, the heavenly planets are not pure, nirmalam, or free from the taint of material existence. The heavenly planets are also temporary, and therefore they are not the goal of life. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, has never been seen or heard to possess inebriety. Consequently, for your own benefit and self-realization, you must worship the Lord with great devotion, as described in the revealed scriptures. So, Mahatma Prabhu,
as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Shine Punye Mrityalokam Vishanti. Even if one is promoted to the higher planetary systems, by performing great sacrifices, which are accompanied by the simple act of sacrificing animals. The standard of happiness in Swarga is also not free of disturbances. There is similar struggle for existence even for the king of heaven, Indra. Thus, there is no practical benefit in promoting oneself to the heavenly planets. Indeed, from the heavenly planets, one must return to this earth after one has exhausted the results of his fire sacrifice. In the Vedas it is said, yat yate ha karm jito loka kayate evam eva mukta. Punya jito loka kayata. As the material positions we acquire here by hard work are vanquished in due course of time. One's residence in the heavenly planet is also eventually vanquished. According to one's activities of piety in different degrees, one obtains different standards of life, but none of them are permanent, and therefore they are all impure. Consequently, one should not endeavor to be promoted to the higher planetary system, only to return to the earth or descend still lower to the hellish planets. To stop the cycle of going up and coming down, one must take to Krishna consciousness. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore said, Praman Ramite Kon Bhagavan Ji, Guru Krishna Paye Bhakti Lata Beach. A living entity is rotating in the cycle of birth and death, going sometimes to the higher planets and sometimes to the lower planets. But that is not the solution to the problems of life. But if by the grace of Krishna one is fortunate enough to meet a guru, a relative of Krishna, one gets the clue to returning home back to Godhead, having achieved self-realization. This is what is actually desirable. Bhastatma dadyate. One must take Krishna oneness for self-realization.
That's one of the points.
Though pleasures in the heavenly planets are much higher, as is said in Bhagavad Gita, Aprama Brahman, Bhuvana Loka Punaravarti Devachana, everything is temporary, so better to take the devotional service seriously, take shelter of a guru.
In the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the Lord compares what the demigods can give to them if they be the worshippers. So he's actually saying, Gadaratam Kam Kama Laban. All that they get is Gadaratam, going in from his Kama Laban. And in the very next verse he says, Esham Sutta Yukta Nam Vajram, Anindyate, Yogakshem Bahamiya. Ananyaschinta Yantamam, he says that to my devotees, I give them Yogakshem, not Gadaratam. So I protect them from the cycle of birth and death. So, the two verses just visually come to each other. He's saying if you worship the demigods, all you get is gata gata. If you come to me, I'll give you your share.
Be careful not to be materialistic devotee.
To be what?
Not be a materialistic devotee. Expecting something from other people. That also means that.
One should be in this kind of devotee and not desire for good results. Thus you should learn Lord and do everything with pleasing. It doesn't matter what happens to you.
That's good. So, Prabhupada points out in the purport that in the material world, everything is a struggle. Nothing is easy. Has anyone experienced this? Everything. That everything is a struggle in this material world. The material world is known as Durga. Durga means like a prison house or a place where everything is difficult. So, this material world is like that. Krishna has designed it like that. That it is a place of suffering and it is temporary. So, in the material world, we have to expect that we're going to struggle a great deal. We're going to suffer a great deal. And at the end, everything is vanquished. Everything that we work for is simply taken away. So then, it is a place for foolish people. It is actually in the very beginning of the creation when the Lord glances at this material energy, it becomes the personality who carries his glance, who is the halo of his glance, is Shambhu, which means Lord Shiva. And this material world is touched by Lord Shiva's, he carries the glance, and he is touched by the stupefying potency of the Lord. In other words, Lord Shiva is sometimes known as Tamasi. Tamasi means one who carries ignorance or touches that mode of ignorance like that. Not that he becomes affected by it or overwhelmed by it, but he touches it. And he carries that glance to the pradhan, to the maya. So Maya, it is full of avijja. So everyone is foolish here. Everyone is stupefied. Everyone is a foolish person because everyone thinks that I can enjoy here. Whereas all that we really do is struggle very hard And after struggling very hard, everything is taken away from us. So Prahlad Maharaj, he is an emperor. He's very powerful. But he's one of the Mahajanas, which means he has realization that this material world is a place of suffering. So he is speaking to his associates and he is telling them, don't try to enjoy in this material world permanently, because you cannot enjoy permanently in this material world. So even though he has the highest position in the universe, he's the son of the most powerful person in the universe, practically speaking, but he's renounced everything and sees it all as being futile. And he speaks his transcendental knowledge to purify us. He's one of the great authorities of the Srimad Bhagavatam and of the Vedas. So we should understand the position in this material world. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he also points out, why is it that in the material world we can never be happy? He says because the material world is full of envy. And when you're in a place where there is envy, you can never find happiness. If you are envious of someone, because all of us are envious, we have envy in our heart. That is our, in one sense, it's the root cause of our material existence, is envy. So as long as we have envy, and as long as others have envy towards us and towards others, we can never be happy. It doesn't create a satisfying atmosphere or a pleasant atmosphere. As long as we are envious towards others, we'll never be satisfied. We'll never be peaceful in our heart. And as long as others are envious of us and we're in a place where there is envy, you'll never be happy. At least that is my experience. Just like last night, I went to visit some devotees. But then they were saying, they started telling me about some politics which is taking place. And I said, oh, that is happening. This one is saying that and that one is saying that. And so, where's the happiness? There's no happiness because there's just envy in the atmosphere. So then no one is satisfied, no one is happy. And everyone gets distracted from thinking about Krishna, which is actually the entire point of sadhu sangha or satsanga. The whole reason why we associate with devotees is so that we can meditate upon Krishna or fix our consciousness upon Krishna. Krishna should be the center of our association. But as soon as envy becomes the center of our association, then everything becomes polluted and no one becomes happy or satisfied. So Prahlad Maharaj says you can never be happy in the material world. This is always envy in the relationships. Any points?
Can you just explain the part again when Lord Vishnu glances at Chandra's sky glass? The glass of the Lord is purified, isn't it? How can so can just
It means that the Lord looks within himself, Mahavishnu. He sees all the jivas who desire to enjoy separately from him. They're asleep at that point in time. So then he glances, and in that glance, all the jivas are impregnated into the material energy. And Lord Shiva, he's like carrying that glance, he's the halo of the glance. So he is in contact with the material energy. So then he is known as Tamasi, for one who is in contact with ignorance or darkness or illusion. His wife is Parvati, who is the material energy, Maya. In the third canto, you can. Any other points?
I find Gandharvika very lucky. Gandharvika, she completely tests on everything. You want to talk, you want to eat, just lying, thinking of it.
Yeah, I wouldn't say she's lucky. I'd say she's very advanced.
Advanced?
Yeah, it's not luck. It's advanced within consciousness. And it's not easy to do what she's doing. You know, you stop eating and stop, it's not easy to do it. Like that. But she's very advanced.
Focused.
Incredibly focused. So very inspiring. Any other points?
How to avoid people who are envious of you and they disturb you in your advancement in Krishna consciousness?
Try to not associate with them.
But if you can't,
don't answer the phone. Don't open the door. Don't go on Skype. Shut yourself off from the world. Yeah, try to find somewhere. There must be somewhere where you can hide. You can come to the farm. No one will disturb you. A materialistic person, thinking himself very advanced in intelligence, continually acts for economic development. But again and again, as enunciated in the Vedas, he is frustrated by material activities, either in this life or in the next. Indeed, the results one obtains are inevitably the opposite of those one desires. So once again, Prahlad Maharaj is saying is that everyone in the material world, all their endeavors end in frustration. And ultimately, everything fails in the material world. Because everyone tries to be happy, but it doesn't work. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says in his commentary that everyone in the material world is very determined to make a happy life for themselves. Everyone is putting in so much effort to become materially satisfied and happy. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says that their determination is simply the opposite. They work so hard to get happiness, but all of that energy simply brings dissatisfaction. You work so hard to attain happiness that you're actually working hard just to attain the opposite. So this is the nature of the material world. So Prahlad Maharaj is saying, renounce it. Do not become attached to this material world, but renounce. And even Prahlad Maharaj and his lineage, they all stayed within the material world. They were great kings, which means they were very involved in this material world. But they weren't attached to the material world. And then finally, many of them renounced. You see, at the end of their lives, many of them just go to the forest. They're finished with the whole business. We should be feeling like that. We should be feeling, when will that day come? You know, I don't have to work anymore. Actually, it can come now, but you have to be renounced. If you don't mind going to Vrindavan without a bank balance behind you, you can do it. And everyone wants to go there, but they want to have so much security. But if you're detached, you can do it now, actually. If you're actually fed up with this material world. Or the other way to do it is you stay here, and you keep doing what you're doing, but you preach Krishna consciousness. And even though you're acting, you're very active, but you just develop complete detachment from the material world. So they're the two options. Either you go to Vrindavan or you stay here and you preach. And that's what Prabhupada did. He preached, and then when everything was finished, then he went to Vrindavan at the end, when he couldn't travel anymore. Any points?
On the from psychology perspective, the psychological science says that unless one reaches the mode of goodness, they really can't experience happiness. Because they divide happiness at three level, different levels. They say that a person who goes to a pub, he derives some happiness, but then it is very, very superficial. And a person who is absorbed in a particular activity, that absorption is so much that the person forgets about eating, sleeping, anything. For some people, say, for example, in their job, it's so much absorbing for them that they forget everything else. So that happiness they derive is better than the happiness they derive by going to a pub. But then they also say that the third level is that if you can do charity, volunteer work, social work, the happiness you derive from that is far, far superior compared to the first two levels. So therefore, in one sense, until they are able to reach to the level of more of goodness and say that whatever happiness you derive there is far superior to the first two levels.
In this material world, every materialist desires to achieve happiness and diminish his distress, and therefore he acts accordingly. Actually, however, one is happy as long as one does not endeavor for happiness. As soon as one begins his activities for happiness, his conditions of distress begin. So Prahlad Maharaj is pointing out that everyone in this material world is simply bound by the material energy. It is very difficult to get out of the material world once you're in it. It requires a great deal of intelligence to get out of the material world. So, do not waste your energy, as Prabhupada is pointing out in the purport, in becoming materially successful. Because that's what everyone's doing these days. Everyone just wants to become materially successful. And they waste so much energy just to become materially successful. But who is materially happy? Who is materially successful? Just like what was the big news item in Australia last week? Or at least in Melbourne. What was the main headline last week? Eddie McGuire said something on the radio and and they talked about it all week. They're still talking about it now. Like that. My impression was they haven't got anything else to talk about. So they talk about the most insignificant things because they haven't got anything better to talk about. So I'm sure that Eddie McGuire wasn't planning on having a bad week, but his week was horrible. He had thousands and thousands of people putting pressure on him and criticizing him and so much difficulty. So that's the nature of the material world. The nature of the material world is we're working very hard for happiness, but it doesn't work. Because it's an atmosphere of envy. And as long as there is an atmosphere of envy, you will always suffer in this material world. So, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that real happiness comes not from trying to be successful in this world, but real happiness comes from being detached from this world. He says that is permanent happiness. So we should put our energy into the other direction. Instead of being successful in this world, we should become detached from it. Chanakya Pandit says something in that regard. He says there is no misery like attachment, and there is no happiness like detachment. So when you are detached, then you'll be happy. A devotee is detached because he's attached to Krishna. So he's not attached to Maya. But a non-devotee is attached to Maya and therefore they cannot be happy. So Prahlad Maharaj is saying, don't waste your energy, don't waste your time. Cultivate Krishna consciousness. Any points?
What did Janaki say?
Something like, there is no misery like attachment, and there is no happiness like detachment. Any other points?
Actually, recently Karunanidhi Prabhu had sent the Grihastha rules. There were 14 points. Have you read that one?
Did you memorize it? Have you memorized it yet?
Yeah. No, exactly.
What is point number 12?
First was about one should read Srimad Bhagavatam. Without reading Bhagavatam, one cannot have peace in the world.
That is 12?
That's 12.
Okay. Very useful having a computer for a brain.
Because I teach Mataji on Saturday evenings, so I keep sending the mails and then again discuss all those topics. It's very useful.
You must be taking steroids for your brain. Or you must drink a lot of Brahmi. Yeah, they were very good points.
Very good.
Which, yeah, very nice. Yeah, they're very nice, those emails that pretty neat is progressing. Manigriva's not on the list though.
Okay.
Maybe if you speak to Karunanidhi and give him his email address and he can.
What's his email?
Bullocks108@gmail.com. Any any other points?
So can you please elaborate on this point? Real happiness comes from detachment from this material world, not attachment to the material world. Very, very good point.
Yeah, because when you are detached, that's when you can be happy. Because real happiness is Krishna. Real happiness is service to Guru and Krishna. You can only serve Guru and Krishna when you are detached from this world. As long as you're attached to this world, you can't put your heart fully into the service of the spiritual master and Krishna, because you're always thinking of material thoughts. So when you give up your attachment to material thoughts, you won't think of them, and then you can dedicate your energy and your time to serving Guru and Krishna. And then you will be happy.
Very interesting and difficult point. One is happy as long as one is not endeavor for happiness. And as soon as he begins his activities for happiness, it is conditions of distress.
Yeah, in this section, Prahlad Maharaj points out that your happiness and distress are predetermined. Which means when we're born, we already have our life is basically mapped out. Basically. Like that. We have opportunities to adjust things to a degree, but basically it's mapped out from the time of birth, this life, in terms of our previous karma. So if you're working very hard to be happy, but you're destined to have a certain amount of distress, then what can you do? You will get distress, you won't get happiness. And if you're not working for happiness or wealth, but you're destined to have it, it will just come. I've seen devotees and wealth just comes. They didn't even do anything, but it just comes. So things are predestined. So don't waste all your energy trying to change your short life in this world. Because what will come will come. I've seen people in my own family work very hard, and they got a lot of money, and all the money was taken away. Not like all, but brought back. Like they got so much money, and then it all. And I've seen that they always have like the same amount of money. So even when they get more, somehow it gets taken away and it drops back to what they're supposed to have. So don't waste your energy.
So I suppose it's realizing that that is your karma, and then just focus on the.
Yeah, if a devotee is intelligent and wise, then the devotee will think, let me just serve Guru and Krishna, and I will be taken care of. And that is Sharanagati. Sharanagati means surrender to Krishna as my maintainer. Krishna is my protector. He always maintains us. So he will give more than what we need. So if we concentrate on devotional service, everything falls into place. Any other points?
Sri Prabhupada, when I say that we should, whatever is in your luck will happen, happiness or distress, they say, well, you have to make endeavor. What do you say to them?
Yeah, it means you have to be responsible in this world. Rupa Goswami says, be responsible. So you have children, you have house, you have family, you have to maintain it.
Yes.
But don't work too hard. Don't over endeavor. Achahara, priyashash. Priyashash means too much endeavor. Just do what you have to do. Or best is do as little as you can do. Best is sit at your office behind the desk and read the Bhagavad Gita and let them pay you. That's the best. That's number one, if you can do that. If you're really smart, get them to pay you a lot and read the Bhagavad Gita. That's the best. If you can work out how to do that, that's first class. That's basically what Chaitanya does. Every time I ring you, you're not working, so you must be reading the Bhagavad Gita.
Last year, I'm going to take a class for us. What's
that? Yeah, I know. Actually, I know what he does. I won't reveal the secrets in the class. But Vijay Gopikesh, huh? Are you there, Sharon Mukhi?
Yes, Prabhu.
Yeah, Vijay, when he used to work here in Melbourne, then he used to get paid to work 9 hours. And then he would work 8 hours, and 1 hour he would read Bhagavatam on the company's time. Does he still do that, or?
In here in Sydney, it's too intense. Prabhu is not able to.
Really? Tell him he's in Maya. He used to be more fixed up. No, I was just joking, Mookie. But he used to, that's what he used to do. Read for 1 hour a day. So you have to work out somehow how to take advantage of your company to the maximum degree. Get them to pay you as much as possible and do as little work as possible. Ananda Balaba does that. His job is driving in the car, and he has a quota every day. He has to keep bringing a certain amount. So if he gets the quota by 10 in the morning, he drives to the park and then he reads the Bhagavatam for the rest of the afternoon. Okay, so that's first class and time. That's the best.
But that's the mercy of the Lord. Everybody doesn't get that kind of thing.
Oh, Krishna will help you. If you want to be tricky, he will help you.
I built Krishna's tour of India company. Is that first class?
What was that?
I built Krishna's tour of India, that website of company.
That's good. That's very good. I've got some more work for you as well. So.
Before we understand this point, how being a Nirastha Guru and having a kid, how can I understand love and attachment, maybe specifically towards the kids? If the kid is not getting proper attachment or love in one sense, like how can I understand this?
Yeah, because for devotees it's different. Because the children are, Prabhupada says, they are from Vaikuntha. So the devotee children are not ordinary children. They're from Lord Ramachandra's army. So they're very, very special.
He is special.
But they're very special. So to love and to have love and be attached to the children who are devotees, that is spiritual. That's not a material attachment. It's a spiritual attachment. Prabhupada said you should be very loving and affectionate to their wife and to the children. Any other points?
Is it true that the quality of happiness derived by a person, whether he's rich or poor, it is the same?
What is it?
The quality of happiness derived by a person living in entity, whether the person is poor or whatever may be the condition. X has got his quota of happiness, Y also has got his quota of happiness. In terms of quality, the happiness is the same, whether X is rich or Y is poor, it doesn't matter. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, happiness is a relative thing in the material world, so it's up to what you're experiencing. A poor person may be experiencing more happiness. Mm-hmm. Happiness is all going on in the mind. Right? It's happiness and distress, it's something the mind experiences.
I'm basing on the Vedic statement. Somewhere I've heard that the quality is the same. Is that true?
You just have to look at the individual cases as what you have to look at. Yeah, I mean, potentially, a poor person can be happier than a rich person, or vice versa, potentially. So you just have to look at the individual case. Happiness is relative in this world. It's a relative thing. But we can be happy or distressful in this world in any situation. Just because someone is wealthy doesn't mean they're happier than a poor person. Because you can see quite often it's the opposite way.
Okay, I've taken as an example, because generally people...
Yeah, I understand your point. So it's just a relative thing. You just have to see each individual, what their experience is.
Whatever the happiness a person is, like if a rich person is getting the same happiness while sleeping, even a poor person is also getting the same happiness while sleeping. So sleeping is the common thing. It doesn't matter if the rich or poor, but whatever happiness he's getting, it's the same. Be you sleeping in AC room or under the sun?
Yeah, quality of that particular thing.
See, happiness in poverty is better than happiness in the rich people's life. It's more permanent.
For devotees, we're not aspiring for material happiness. We're aspiring to serve Krishna and receive pleasure from serving Krishna. So we don't base our happiness on material happiness. I know you are, but the conversation is, it's just a relative thing, so we won't keep going. So. A living entity desires comfort for his body and makes many plans for this purpose. But actually the body is the property of others. Indeed, the perishable body embraces the living entity and then leaves him aside. So Prahlad Maharaj is giving us a reality check. Reality check means he's teaching as it is. He is telling us what the material world is really like. And basically, Prabhupada is saying in the purport, similar to what Prahlad Maharaj says in the last few chapters, everyone in the material world is simply chewing the chewed. In other words, all the happiness that we're trying to get in this world, it's the same thing we've been doing for lifetime after lifetime. And now we think this particular life is particularly different or special. But it's the same thing that we've done again and again and again. And people become so enamored or so bewildered by the material energy that they'll keep doing the same activity lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. And just trying to enjoy exactly the same thing which we've already enjoyed so many times before.
Chewing the chew.
Yeah, chewing the chew. Something which has already been experienced, and we're just trying to do it again and get as much out of it as we can. And Maya is so powerful that it just bewilders people, and they don't have any interest in becoming Krishna conscious or becoming spiritually advanced. They're just interested in trying to enjoy the same thing again and again and again. And it's very limited what they're enjoying. And I think this is all in all. I think this particular lifetime and what I'm experiencing in this lifetime, this is everything. But then when they die, they'll completely forget it all. And they'll go into the next life and I think, no, that all of that is everything. And if you remind them, well, what about the relationships you had in the previous life? And they'll say, that doesn't mean anything to me now. It's like if you saw the photos of your family from your last life, right? There's no attachment to them whatsoever. But in that life, you were completely attached to that circumstance. And now, you've come to a new circumstance, you think that is all in all. So that is the nature of the material world. So it's the same thing, just again and again and again, and we become bewildered by it. And it binds us into this material world. Any points? Since the body itself is ultimately meant to become stool or earth, what is the meaning of the paraphernalia related to the body? Such as wives, residences, wealth, children, relatives, servants, friends, kingdoms, treasuries, animals, and ministers. They are also temporary. What more can be said about this? And we see how powerful Prahlad Maharaj is, because he has all of this. He has the whole universe at his disposal, and he's renouncing the entire universe. Right? We can't even renounce one block of land. Or one apartment, or our bed, or our watch. And we're so attached to our computer, or our iPad, or our iPhone.
So being attached to iPad or iPhone to your Bhagavatam is a problem.
You answer. No, all the things are good. That means, you know, like. I have iRiver. So on the iRiver, I have so many lectures. Mm. Right? So it is good, because that is Yukta Vairagya. Mm. But then if I use the same thing, just to listen to material sounds, then that will bind me to the material world. Mm. So if you use it in Krishna's service, Prabhupada said, we are not against machines, if they're using Krishna's service. But if they're not using Krishna's service, then Shrama Evahi Kedala. A useless waste of time.
Before I had one phone, it was just for receiving calls. It didn't have any features. and my daughter gave me her old phone. I put all the things, I'm very attached to my phone. I'm always charging, reading. So I don't know, that sort of attachment happens.
Yeah, because if you're reading Bhagavatam and like that, then that's no problem. That's no problem. But if you're, you know, playing those computer games all day.
I don't have these all, Krishna.
Yeah, if you're sitting behind your desk and you're just playing computer games, then a lot of people sit in their office, they just play computer games, and the boss comes in, they press the button, and then the work comes off it. That's not good. Even one time, one devotee in Mayapur, he was just playing the computer games. And then one sannyasi, he walked in, and he said, "Don't you have something better to do in the holy dump? What are you doing?" Like that. So we should not be wasting our time on unnecessary. So the point is, Prahlad Maharaj, he is powerful because he is renouncing this whole universe so that he can serve Krishna. And we can't even renounce one little block of land or one little apartment or, you know, if we had everything he had, it would be very difficult. We wouldn't be saying, like he is saying, give up your palaces and your servants and your wives and your children and that. It'd be very hard for us to do this. We always preach, be renounced, but then when we get $1 million, we're not so renounced anymore. Easy to say it, but then when you get rich, then it's very hard to renounce. But Prahlad Maharaj, he has everything, but he's completely detached. All this paraphernalia is very near and dear as long as the body exists. But as soon as the body is destroyed, all things related to the body are also finished. Therefore, actually, one has nothing to do with them. But because of ignorance, one accepts them as valuable. Compared to the ocean of eternal happiness, they are most insignificant. What is the use of such insignificant relationships for the eternal living being? So, everyone in the material world is looking for rasa. But we're looking for rasa in the wrong place. We're looking for rasa, or pleasure, in the material world. But a devotee, when he becomes intelligent, then he looks for rasa in the amrita sindhu. Bhakti ras amrita sindhu. Right? The ocean of the nectar of devotion. So devotees look for pleasure in service to Krishna. Serving Guru and Krishna, that's where devotees are happy and satisfied. But in the material world, everyone is looking for rasa in the material energy. Now, in this verse, if you read the Sanskrit says, nitya nondo. Nitya onondo. Onondo means bliss. Sukha means happiness. Ananda means bliss. Much higher than happiness. And Nitya means eternal. So who is Lord Nityananda? Bhagavatam says here, Nityananda. In the Sanskrit. Nityananda. One who is always experiencing bliss. Right? So Lord Nityananda is our guru. Right? We say all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Sri Guru means Nityananda Prabhu, the Adi Guru. And why is he always blissful? Because he teaches us how to be servitor Godhead. Right? He is servitor Godhead, which means Prabhupada said he is the supreme personality of servitor Godhead. Lord Balaram, Lord Nityananda. Because they're teaching us, even though they're God, but they're teaching us just to serve God. So they're teaching us to serve Krishna, to serve Lord Chaitanya. So that is our position. We are just servants of Krishna. We are servants of Lord Chaitanya, servants of the Guru. So this is how we get unlimited happiness. The more we serve Guru and Krishna, the happier we'll become. And the more we serve Maya, the more unhappy we will become. Because the rasa in the material world, it turns to be rasa. The rasa just turns into something very unpleasant in due course of time. Krishna says that in Gita. That is the nature of the mode of passion. Pleasurable in the beginning, but very bitter in the end. Right? Whereas devotional life, it may be a little bit austere in the beginning, but in the end you will get unlimited pleasure. Any points? My dear friend, those sons of the Asuras, the living entity receives different types of bodies according to his previous fruitive activities. Thus he is seen to suffer with reference to his particular body in all conditions of life, beginning with his infusion into the womb. Please tell me, therefore, after full consideration, what is the living entity's actual interest in fruitive activities, which result in hardship and misery? So we'll read the purport. The purport is very powerful. Jamuna Jivan.
Karmana Devanitena Jantu Deho Papati. The living entity is a particular type of body according to its karma or fruitive activities. The material pleasure derived in the material world from one's particular body is based on six senses. The entire body is working so hard only for sexual pleasure. To enjoy sexual pleasure and maintain the status quo of material life, one must work very hard. And because of such activities, one prepares himself another body. Prahlad Maharaj places this matter to his friends, the Asuras, for their consideration. Asuras generally cannot understand that the object of sexual pleasure, the so-called pleasure of the materialistic life, depend on extremely hard labor.
So what are the points?
Because of the attraction with the opposite sex, one becomes attached to them. But people don't understand that. How we are getting attached to it. When you move one more small of the happiness.
What's the last part?
One become more attached to sex life, they think that's the highest happiness they can get, but they don't understand how they are getting attached to the material world because of that.
In the Gita, in the modes of nature, 14th chapter, Krishna tells that how the mode of passion is intense endeavor. So to achieve something, they work so hard, that is the mode of passion. So, Shudras generally cannot understand the object. So, so-called life of materialistic life depends on extremely hard labor.
So if you read the very first purport of the Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 1, Verse 1, you'll see in the purport, and Prabhupada says, sex life is the active principle of the material world. It is only because of sex life that the whole material world has taken place. One time Prabhupada was in one of the cities, somewhere in the world, one of these big cities, and he was stuck in a traffic jam, and Prabhupada, he was in the back seat and the devotees were in the front seat, and Prabhupada leaned back and he said, simply sex life. All these traffic jams, all these big buildings, everything. The whole active principle of the material world is sex life. You take out sex life, everything stops. Right? The freeways stop, the cars stop, the petrol stops, the big buildings stop being built. Everything will stop. Sex life is the active principle of the material world. It keeps everyone inspired. It keeps everyone dedicated to the material world, to working hard in the material world. So, Prabhupada has pointed out, I was reading last week in the Bhagavatam, in the morning classes in the temple, we're studying the 18th chapter of the first canto. So, it's describing how Parikshit is cursed. But then Prabhupada, in one of the purports, it's very amazing purport that Prabhupada writes. He says the Parikshit accepted the curse so that the Bhagavatam could be spoken. And then Prabhupada says, why was the Bhagavatam to be spoken? Because the most confidential part of the Bhagavatam is the Rasa Lila between Krishna and the gopis. And Prabhupada says, by hearing of the pure relationships between pure male and pure females, between Krishna and his eternal associates, you will destroy the calm or the lust that is keeping us bound in this material world. And I remember Mother Jagatarini mentioned this at one of the retreats a few years ago at Govardhan Hill. She said that ultimately we can read Krishna consciousness, we can read Bhagavad Gita, we can read the Bhagavatam for years and years, but ultimately we have to gradually advance so we'll get to the point, because only when you hear about Krishna's pure pastimes with his eternal associates, that will take all the lust away from the heart. So everything we're doing now, all this study we're doing now, is just bringing us to a point where we can actually hear with a pure heart and pure consciousness Krishna's pastimes with his eternal associates. That will take all the lust away. Gradually. So we're just coming up to that point. And then one day we can read the 10th canto and then everything will be destroyed.
In the last section we read that Gopiya Kama Maya thing. In that purport also it is said that when we hear about gopis and Krishna's that feelings, then we become there. Those lust, our lust will
be. Yeah. 33rd chapter of the 10th canto.
Just a question. What happens to people who actually listen and enact those pastimes of Krishna, which are very sacred, and they are basically going in the wrong direction, you know, act as such and basically sort of take the wrong meaning out of them? What happens to them?
They're hearing it, but they're not qualified to hear it.
Yes.
Yeah. Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur says the rasa turns to viras, so it increases their lust. That's why the Bhagavatam says, and we know ourselves, sometimes if I'm reading those pastimes and the lust is increasing, that means, okay, put the book down, right? Go back to the Bhagavad Gita, right? And study something which is on the level that you are on. Other times, we can read those things and we feel purified. So the result should be purification of that. So if you're not getting that result from reading those pastimes, and you should stay on the beginning pastimes. That's why the Bhagavatam has to be studied very systematically. Okay. So we're on 47. Okay. The living entity who has received his present body because of his past fruitive activity may end the results of his actions in this life. But this does not mean that he is liberated from bondage to material bodies. The living entity receives one type of body, and by performing actions with that body, he creates another. Thus he transmigrates from one body to another through repeated birth and death because of his gross ignorance. So, Srila Prabhupada is explaining to us in the purport, the system of purification is to hear this knowledge in disciplic succession. In other words, you must approach a guru who is in disciplic succession. That will cure your disease. And actually, I was listening on the radio last night, very interesting, because I went to visit some devotees and I was coming home and I listened to the radio. And they're having a discussion with some Christians, because at the moment one of the big items in the newspaper is the Catholic court case which is taking place. So they were speaking to some Christians about these things, and one of the defects in their system at this point in time is that they're not getting the message purely in disciplic succession. In other words, there's interpretation on the original teachings. Whereas, the only way to become purified and to realize God, you must receive the knowledge through disciplic succession. Right. And the guru must be representing that disciplic succession. And then when you hear from the guru in disciplic succession, then you become purified of your material desires. So Prahlad Maharaj is again and again, and Prabhupada also is again and again through this section, emphasizing the way to get out of this material world is to hear from the guru and to follow his instructions, and that will liberate us. And if you look at Prahlad Maharaj's own example, that's what took place. His perfection came from hearing from the spiritual master. By hearing from the spiritual master and acting on his instructions, then we'll become liberated. The four principles of advancement in spiritual life, dharma, artha, karma and moksha, all depend on the disposition of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, my dear friends, follow in the footsteps of devotees. Without desire, fully depend upon the disposition of the Supreme Lord. Worship Him and the Supersoul in devotional service. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, is the soul and the Supersoul of all living entities. Every living entity is a manifestation of His energy in terms of the living soul and the material body. Therefore, the Lord is the most dear, and He is the supreme controller. If a demigod, demon, human being, yaksha, gandharva, or anyone within this universe renders service to the lotus feet of Mukunda, who can deliver liberation, he is actually situated in the most auspicious condition of life. Exactly like us, the Mahajanas, headed by Prahlad Maharaj. Mahajan, Ina, Kata, Sapanta. Mahabharata says, we must follow in the footsteps of the Mahajanas. That is how we become purified. So the system is that we follow the previous Acharyas. And Prabhupada says in the songbook of the Vaishnava Acharyas, in one of the purports to one of these songs, he said the whole process of Krishna consciousness is keeping association with pure devotees, pure Vaishnavas, and praying to the previous Acharyas. That is the whole process in Krishna consciousness. We pray to the previous Acharyas for their mercy, we follow their example, and we keep the association of pure devotees. And then we will go back to Godhead by pure association, by the mercy of the previous Acharyas. My dear friends, O sons of the demons, you cannot please the Supreme Personality of Godhead by becoming perfect brahmanas, demigods or great saints, or by becoming perfectly good in etiquette or vast learning. None of these qualifications can awaken the pleasure of the Lord. Nor by charity, austerity, sacrifice, cleanliness, or vows can one satisfy the Lord. The Lord is pleased only if one has unflinching, unalloyed devotion to Him. Without sincere devotional service, everything is simply a show. So Prabhupada emphasizes in the purport that a devotee must cultivate sincerity. You know this word, sincere. It is an old Roman word. Have you heard the story? Where the word came from? Sincere. So the Romans, they used to cut the stone, the marble, and they would sell the marble. So what they would do is sometimes they would cut the marble, the big blocks, but then there were cracks. So they would get the wax and they would put it in the cracks. So then when the people would come to buy the marble, they'd say, oh, it looks perfectly smooth. But then they would take the marble and build their buildings. But then when the sun came, the wax would melt and then all the cracks would come. So then the Roman word, sincere, they would stamp on the marble, means without crack. Without fault. And it means something like that, sincere, without fault. So they would stamp it like that. So then, this is where the word is coming from. We have to be sincere in Krishna consciousness. We can't be making a show of it. You can't be pretending to be one thing, but actually you're another. That doesn't work. You can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. And you can't fool Krishna any of the time. He knows what's going on. You can fool everyone else, So you can't fool Krishna. Just like the day that my spiritual master initiated me, then I went to have darshan with him up there in that room, just up there. And I went in and had darshan, and Aniruddha Prabhu was there, and my spiritual master was there. And Aniruddha Prabhu said he's very staunch, because I was a brahmachari at the time. Aniruddha said he's very staunch. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj looked at me and he said, he is not staunch. He said, he is an actor. And he said, as long as he keeps playing the same role. He said, as long as he keeps playing the same role. So that's all I'm trying to do, is I keep playing the same role. Because I studied acting before I became a devotee. So I'm an actor. By nature, I like to act. So it is not sincere. It's not without fault. Because you can fool everyone else, but you can't fool Krishna. You can make out that you're very fixed up as a devotee, but Krishna knows everything. He knows all the secret points. So don't offer Krishna insincere devotional service. Don't pretend. Don't make a show. Because Krishna, he likes to play games. So if you try to trick everyone, then Krishna will just, one day, he'll just pull the rug out. Like you're walking along, and Krishna will just go, like that. And you'll fall in front of everyone. And everyone will see. He can expose everything. He does. You see, again and again, devotees try to hide things, and Krishna exposes everything. In the most wonderful ways. In front of everyone sometimes. So don't try to fool Krishna. It doesn't work. He says in Bhagavad Gita, of the cheaters, I am the cheater. He said, I am the cheater. I'm better than all of them. Even the best ones, he said, I am them. He's much better. Doesn't matter how tricky you are, he's 10 steps ahead all the time. Even when you're just starting to deviate and just, you know, do your nonsense and start to, you know, creep off, you know, quietly, he's already 10 steps ahead of you, just waiting. And then suddenly you're, oh, you're here. And he says, of course I'm here. I know what you're doing. Don't try to trick him.
What it does it mean is that when you do charity or charity sacrifice or cleansing yourself something, you have got to do it sincerely?
Yeah, everything has to be sincere.
But
whatever you do.
It means you don't, or is it, does it mean that you don't have to be doing anything of this and just this sincere level of things?
Yeah. Bhakti is what attracts Krishna, not anything else. Austerities don't attract him. Bhakti attracts him.
So why do we do that?
Whatever we do is for Krishna's pleasure. If we're fasting, that's for Krishna's pleasure. If we're preaching, that's for Krishna. All our austerities are for Krishna's pleasure. That's the point. My dear friends, as son of the demons, in the same favorable way that one sees himself and takes care of himself, take to devotional service to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present everywhere as the Supersoul of all living entities. Oh my friends, O sons of demons, everyone including you, the yakshas and rakshasas, the unintelligent women, the sudras, the cowherd men, the birds, the lower animals and the living and the sinful living entities, can revive his original, eternal, spiritual life and exist forever simply by accepting the principles of Bhakti Yoga. In this material world, to render service to the lotus feet of Govinda, the cause of all causes, and to see him everywhere is the only goal of life. This much alone is the ultimate goal of human life, as explained by all the revealed scriptures. So Prahlad Maharaj, in the final verse, he's speaking about the vision of a Mahabhagavata. A Mahabhagavat is one who sees Krishna everywhere. So it means everything you look at just simply reminds you of Krishna. This happens by intense absorption in Krishna. One has to be always serving Krishna and always absorbing one's consciousness and hearing about him. And if you're doing that, then eventually, in due course of time, you just see Krishna everywhere. Everything reminds you of Krishna, only Krishna. It's a very advanced level of Krishna consciousness. Sometimes we get little glimpses, but this means ananya bhakti means always, continuously. A pure devotee just always sees Krishna everywhere. Or like His Holiness Jayavataka Swami, just always sees Gauranga everywhere. Like that. That's the position of a very advanced devotee. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai.